forget how to use it after all these years?
Well, it's not that I forget how to use it. It's just that my wife has given me instructions. There's like two buttons I'm allowed to touch. The other day, I touched more buttons, and it began recording in a different file. All right? So when then she downloaded everything, she didn't realize she didn't download the proper file. She just downloaded the file she always downloads. I had it recorded, but on a different file. Okay?
Don't you touch anything yeah. else?
So, yeah, so it's one of those things that, you know, so she goes ahead and does exactly the last one like she always does. And Amy says, well, that's the wrong one. Amy has people emailing, where's the next Bible study and such? You know, some I don't even know the people, but they're emailing and such. So, but the thing is, it's just one of those goofy things. So now I'm taking exactly like she handed it to me, and I'm putting on the recorder exactly the right.
Might want to run it.
Yeah, right. I get mad at her, but it's got to be frustrating to sit in her shoes sometimes and have to deal with me.
Oh, yeah, only sometimes.
Well, you should. Yeah, not. Happy Balo Jennifer birthday. All right, here we go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. But Ruthann will get that run off quickly and run it down there, and that way by tomorrow night you can get it on there.
Yeah, that's fine.
And all right, we're in 2 Corinthians 4. And it's a blessing that people are looking for it. I mean, that's nice. You tell them they could go to the really good stuff and hear your Sunday school class.
You know what? They'd come right here and listen if they'd like.
Well, some of them are kind of far away.
That's what yeah. I said.
All right.
We'll let them move.
Oh, they listen to everything. They're just probably keeping track of
yeah. you know, okay.
your Bible study. Or
how many hits you getting now?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
Okay.
Last time I looked, I think it was 84, wasn't it?
Wow. 84 different people looking at that website at a given day. I mean, that's very impressive. All right, so we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we read in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and of course that's a reference to Genesis 1, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here's that term, earthen vessel. No doubt God's talking about the body here, the believer. We got that treasure in an earthen vessel. Your body's made out of the earth. You know, God took the earth, made the human body out of it. And the human body, I mean, David says in Psalm 139, he says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But yet it's a pretty frail thing. It's the human body is engineered better than anything man could ever make. What are you looking for? Oh. What you looking for?
Oh, no, it was something lost
with the baby. Oh, all right. But the thing is, the human body is engineered better than anything man can make, but you just think how frail it is. You know, it doesn't take much. I mean, for example, Dale yesterday, just that tooth hurting, he didn't want to pray in prayer meeting, okay? And pain will do that to you, that kind of hurt. Doesn't take an awful lot for, you know, for somebody to just, you know, you lose, you get up and go or whatever else. And
or it gets up and goes.
Yeah, you get up and go, got up and went type of thing. Bill Randall used to say this. He said he could put up with all sorts of things and not lose his spiritual edge. You know, disasters in the family and persecution, that kind of stuff. But let his body get exhausted, and you lose your spiritual edge. You lose it. I mean, it just, you get yourself real tired and that kind of stuff. And he said that's really a hard thing to work yourself through and make yourself, you know, really have that edge. So, but yet, why did the Lord take this treasure, this tremendous thing that he's done, and keep it in an earthen vessel? Well, he tells you. So the excellence of the power be of God, not of us. I remember one time going to the Franklinville bowling alley, probably early 1970s, and I'd just gotten out of high school, and a good friend of mine was there, and we met together, whatever else, and you know, we're quaffing down the beers. I'm not proud of this, but I'm just telling you what was going on and such. And I remember, you know, feeling a little bit bold and such. And I remember there was a football player there with us and a big old guy or whatever. And I go to walk out, and I bump into some guy, and he kind of takes offense with me. And I said something to him. He said something to me. And next thing you know, he turns around, decides to square off. And I thought, you know, I'm not going to let him get away with this. So I kind of square off, which if you know me, this is dumb. All right? This is like real dumb. And then all of a sudden, I noticed his face just kind of white, and he took off. And I thought, yeah, I've still got it. I turned around, bam, right into that football player standing behind me. I wasn't going to let him hurt you. The excellence of the power wasn't me. It wasn't me that did that. But, you know, the Lord's there. The Lord's watching out for you. Last Thursday, I probably had one of the worst medical crises I've had in a long time. My medicine got all mixed up, and I didn't realize it. And I was at work, and I couldn't make the most simple things function on the computer. I just couldn't do it. And I didn't know why. My medicine's all mixed up. I'm confused. I can't. I'm just standing there, and there's like six processes to do with this check this old man had given me. And I just in despair. I mean, just how to make this work. Now, I'd already made all these mistakes. I mean, I went to make coffee and put the beans without grinding them in the coffee pot. I mean, just stunning all the stuff that I'd done. And, you know, plug my phone into something that's not supposed to be plugged into.
You had a time,
it really was. I mean, that's, so I'm standing there, and all of a sudden I realized what I'd done with my medicine. I had it all mixed up. You know, it's just blood pressure medicine, but I had it all mixed up and such. My blood pressure was all out of control.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking right or anything. And it was almost, my ears were ringing. It was like I was in a soup. I called Ruth Ann. I've got 3 hours left. If I take the medicine to straighten it out now, I'll just have to go to sleep. So I worked this last 3 hours, but it's like the most agonizing 3 hours. I'm just like concentrating on every little thing I'm doing and getting through this. And I drive home, I take the medicine, I go to sleep. I'm fine. After a couple hours sleep, I wake up. We did Bible study. The phone rings immediately afterwards, and it's Brother Shankles. And he said, John, you've just been on my heart all day. He said, I just woke up this morning. You were just on my heart. I've just been praying for you at every... He said, I just can't get you off my mind and such. And I just realized, you know, God woke that man up. You know, God just... Somebody keep my back. Somebody to watch over me in a time when I just... It was weak. I just couldn't handle myself. And here's this man just... Didn't know why, but he just knew that he had to pray for John Asquith. He had no idea why, but he just prayed and prayed. But there's that thing again, the excellence of the powers of God. It's not of us. He's just there fighting, and he's just doing stuff for us, and we don't even begin to understand all the things that God really does. And if I ever get success twice in a row, my head's too big to get out that door. You know? And it just is. I'm like your, you know, 5-year-old kid, you know, who finally 2 days in a row hits the potty by himself and now decides he's Superman, you know? And, but isn't that what they do? You know, they suddenly, they've got the world. And, you know, God looks down at me and my little accomplishments, and there I am strutting, and ain't I something, you know? And to God, if it wasn't serious, it'd be funny, okay? But God keeps you in that earthen vessel. Why? The excellence of the power is to be of him. It's not, you're not the one who's got this excellency. He's got it. You yield yourself to him, and he'll do unbelievable things for you. You don't yield yourself to him,
forget it.
That's
right.
It's a mess. I was telling McVeigh the other day, talking to him, and I said, you know, my wife can go ahead and take the finest of ingredients. And she can. When we first got married, one of these stupid things we bought where every month we got a bunch of recipe cards. And the funny thing was, this is back in the early 80s or something, I'd come home from work and she'd make another recipe. I'd taste it, it'd just be garbage, horrible. I'd taste the next one, man, it'd just be this unbelievably good thing. So she'd mark down really good, put it in the box, and for 30 years, we've eaten off those recipes. For, you know, months, trying it every one. Sure. My kids have loved them and everything else, and, you know, they're tremendous. So she can take the best of ingredients, put them all together, and they look good and everything else. And, you know, I'll eat that stuff, and boy, it's wonderful. But 8 hours later, it don't look good. Once it's run through my flesh, it ain't fit for nobody, okay?
Right, right.
Now, I'll do the same thing. I'll go ahead, I'll read a little of Aristotle, and I'll read a little in this science book, and I'll read a little bit of this. But if all of it does is process through my flesh, when it comes back out, it ain't nothing, okay? It's got to be God that works with it. It's got to be God that takes it and makes something out of what you do. And if God doesn't do it, it's yucky.
I wonder about Skip Fleischer and trouble with his legs and his knee. I wonder how he reacts toward what God has given him to do.
Hard to know. You know, Dick, it's hard to watch. Because Skip Feister is a man's man.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, you might accuse him of 1,000 things, but you couldn't accuse him of not being a man. Paying every bill he ever had, taking care of every obligation he ever had, and doing everything exactly right. And it's hard for us to watch your generation and watch those bodies fall apart.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to watch that.
I wonder what reaction he had toward God.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's a good question. Good, and I don't know. I'm a pastor, but I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. Okay? But Paul says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, I want to show you something. Go back to Leviticus chapter 6.
Six, you said?
Yep, Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus 6, look at verse 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord, it is most holy. The priest that offer it for sin shall eat it.
And the
yep. Now we're in 26. In the holy place shall it be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whatsoever shall touch the flesh thereof shall be holy. So in other words, if you've got this sin offering, your garment touches it. That garment now is different. Just touch that offering, okay? And when there is sprinkled of the blood thereof upon any garment, thou shalt wash it wherein it was sprinkled in the holy place. So the priest has got a garment. It's touched that. It's got the blood on it. Before he even leaves, he's got to wash that garment right there in the holy place. That's the place where the showbread is. That's the place where the incense altar is. And he's got to do his laundry right there. You're not even leaving until you've cleaned that thing. Okay? Now watch this. Verse 28. But the earthen vessel wherein it's sodden shall be broken. Okay? So sodden is soaked. Okay? Sodden is soaked. So the thing is, your soul has touched that offering. It's had the blood on it. But it was done in an earthen vessel. God will break that earthen vessel.
Sure he will.
There's nobody's going to escape. Even if you go in the rapture, that vessel will break. Okay? There's no escaping that. That vessel will break. You see that, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
That will break. How about angels? Watch this. And if it be sodden in a brazen pot, it should be scoured and rinsed in water. Okay? Now, there's two applications to that. One is angels. This idea that angels aren't redeemed, that's just some nonsense fundamentalist thing about run around. Angels are redeemed, okay? They have to be, because Lucifer was over him and he sinned.
Why is the angels under the brass ones?
Brazen.
Because their bodies are based on brass. So you'll find that in Job talking about Behemoth, his bones are of brass.
Yeah.
Ours are iron-based, theirs are brass-based. Okay? It's just a difference with angels. So, And again, there is an application in there to a Jew who has Old Testament standing. One of the reasons for baptism for the remission of sins in there, but that's pushing a little bit far with that. The biggest thing is to realize that because in your body is where God took your soul and cleansed it and sprinkled the blood, he will break your vessel. And it's not pretty watching it, okay? Not pretty. And, I mean, if anything, it's just hard. You know, I wake up in the morning and like to think, boy, it's still all there, but then I look in the mirror and there's more than what there used to be. It's not that it's all there, there's extra, you know, there. And some things I want there isn't there, you know, and it's, you know. So, but that's what you're looking at. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4.
Do the angels have to be saved then? Do they have to come to believe on Jesus Christ?
They've already believed on Jesus Christ. Their fear is falling away. They were created looking at him. No problem for them to believe in. They stood over the portals of glory and watched him crucified. They watched the stone roll out and him resurrect. For them, belief is no problem. Their problem is falling away. That's going to the other side. Okay.
Wanting to be here, right?
Yeah, leave it. Well, one of the things is leaving their first estate is one of the descriptions of that. But the thing is that's why you have a term where Apostle Paul talks about the elect angels, for example. And we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, but go to Colossians 1:20. Colossians 1:20 is an important verse.
My friend. It's funny they make a Bible with no Colossians.
Yeah.
Good, yeah.
Colossians 1:20. There you go. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Reconciled by the blood, things in heaven. Now what in heaven needed to be reconciled by the blood?
Well, in Job it said even the heavens were dirty. So.
Right, even the heavens are not clean in his sight. Why? Where did Lucifer sin? Right in the face of God in heaven. What do you have in Job? You've got the devil walking right into the throne room of God. What an offense. You know, you think, you know, you talk about something unclean.
Right.
So, so that's why it says, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. He doesn't even see heaven is clean. So there's the blood. And so you have angels who sided with Lucifer. You have others standing there in shock. The anointed cherub over them has fallen. He's gone aside. They need that blood to reconcile them.
So, when Jesus went up and put the blood back in the basin, did that clean the heavens? Does that?
I think he literally had to go around and sprinkle them. For example, we're going to see in the very next chapter that you have a body in heaven waiting for you.
That's right.
That's eternal. Uh-huh. Never made. It's eternal. It's as old as God. It's a body waiting for you, okay?
Now, a person doesn't get saved, they go to hell. What does that body do?
There was never a body there for it.
He already knew.
He already knew, okay? It was all your will, but there was never a body there for it. But that body, you'll find the blood of Jesus Christ on the ear, the thumb, and the great toe, just like a priest had to have done. Why? because Lucifer sinned right in front of all those bodies. Okay? Ask Sharon what a house is like when the husband forgets to put a filter in the vacuum cleaner and he's vacuuming. All right? It's not just that happening. You know, this fine mist of white little particulate ash around.
How many husbands does she have?
Yeah. Only one good one, you know. Yeah. The others are kind of throwaways. But it's just one of those things. What's it like in heaven when Lucifer sins right there? Okay? It affected everything. Yay, the heavens are not clean in his sight.
But I mean, there's that point in Revelations where he says that he's made a new heaven and new earth. And so is it then when it's all cleaned away? And
keep in mind, that new heaven and new earth are the same ones.
Just reboot.
That's right. For example, if a person gets saved, they're a new creature in Christ. Are you a new creature in Christ?
I wish.
Yes, okay,
I am.
But you are.
I am.
But the thing is, it's the same old deal.
That's right.
Remade. Okay, that new heaven and new earth. Because it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the earth abideth forever.
Yes.
It says that. Okay.
Somewhere in 1 Peter too. Also.
Well, similar. But the thing is, yet it says a new heaven, new earth. Because that earth is made over. And it's now it's new. Something different. Okay?
This is going to sound stupid. I think I have to throw this one out. Because I heard somebody on the radio was saying that heaven is a parallel to this earth. But isn't it out there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you got to be careful what they say on the radio.
Be careful.
There's a lot of things said on the radio.
Bad, yeah, a lot of bad stuff.
Yeah.
Well, because they... Again, I know this is not what we, you know, how, because, you know, the spirits, people that believe in that, they believe it's on another plane with us. But they were saying they linked heaven, but I thought heaven was up there.
It, heaven is not on a different plane. It's out there past the second heaven. Past outer space, there's a physical place called heaven.
Which God would never let us reach by spaceship.
No. No, there's a sea of glass in between. That great deep was frozen. It's called a sea of glass. If you were up on top of it, it'd be a sea of glass. Because the great deep was frozen that separates the two. But you just think what that great deep was like. If you've got a gate made out of one pearl, what size was the oyster?
Well, the gate had to have been 12 feet or miles or whatever.
Yeah, it's a big gate. Think of the oyster. That's what the great deep was like, but then it's gone frozen. It says the face of the great deep is frozen. So his throne sits on that, and it looks like a sea of glass from the top. All right, so there's a barrier there.
But I thought his throne sat on the ever-growing river.
There is an ever-growing river, okay? That's, you'll see that in the book of Revelation, okay? Whether that river is there now, I don't know. I think that's earthly. I think.
In the new one.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, back to 2 Corinthians 4. I love the questions you guys ask.
Yes, you do, yeah.
I mean, I really do. That's good. But you see where that person... Keep this in mind, Jody. This is something fairly important to understand. If you go up to the average Pentecostal and some fundamentalists and ask them this question and say, if you could get past all this in your body like Enoch, in your body, into heaven. And you could walk up to the very throne where God is. There's the Father. And to his right is Jesus Christ. Would he have a body of flesh that you can grab? Okay, of course he does. In fact, the spirit of Antichrist doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Present tense, now in the flesh.
That's right.
You'd be amazed how many spiritual leaders would say, no, he's not in a body of flesh right now. That's Antichrist. That's right. That's Antichrist. That is the spirit of Antichrist. They do not believe that. So a person who's thinking heaven is just some spiritual plane out here, does he believe Jesus Christ is in a body of flesh in that spiritual plane?
No,
that's right. That's Antichrist. Right there in the radio playing Christian music, but it was the spirit of Antichrist. So it's amazing how subtle that works.
We yell at our radio a lot.
You know why they don't see that? Because their Bibles say this. Whosoever believeth not that Jesus is come is Antichrist. Mm-hmm. Well, the Muslims believe Jesus has come.
Sure does.
The devils believe Jesus has come.
And they're afraid of him.
Yeah, who doesn't believe Jesus has come? Atheists believe there's a man named Jesus. See what I mean? What the Word of God says is, whosoever believeth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, present tense, now in a body of flesh. That's what distinguishes whether or not you're Antichrist. Okay? So, again, what's the devil do? Dumbs down the very test to find him. Makes it so that he can pass that test. That's why Gail Rippling wrote the book, The New Age Versions of the Bible, mm-hmm. because it shows you how all these new Bibles are really bringing in the New Age movement. They take out everything that distinguishes Jesus Christ and mixes Christianity and the New Age movement all together.
Oh, yeah.
You go into an NIV church, you're really in the New Age movement. It's what you're in. All right. So.
The other thing that made that a lot more easy to see was like what you said that that one Saturday about the spirit of Catholicism and the spirit of
it's out there. That's right. All right, now we're at 2 Corinthians 4 and we're in verse 8 now. We are troubled on every side. Okay, well, you know, take Amy Morey aside and ask her, is there any side of your life now where you're not troubled over? You know, she might find that maybe her jewelry box is all right, but other than that, probably everything else is a disaster. But I could go to a lot of them and say the same thing. Ask Esther right now, is getting ready to get Kyra out of jail. Are you troubled on every... Yeah, everything's going... Ask Carrie right now, running around. You know, are you troubled on every... Yeah, I'm troubled. Ask Sharon right now. You got a lot of troubles going on right now? Yeah, okay? We're troubled on every side, okay? Ask Nick what it's like when the very house you're in, just to navigate it, is harder than basic training was. Okay? Ask him what it's like every day that the smallest of tasks are as hard as anything they ask you to do in basic training. Just to get up and say, I'm going to go get this and put this over here, takes a superhuman effort in this great work to get over and do it and get back again. Troubled on every side, okay? Yet not distressed. Now that's really what the Lord's looking for.
Failed.
Okay? God bless you, Miss Amy. But that's what he's looking for. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. What a blessing that you could be to people if they could see that trouble. Okay. Josh, either sit down here or obey your mother instantly. Okay? Instantly or quicker. All right. So the thing is, think what your life could be if people could see that trouble on every side and realize, boy, they're going through a lot, but they're not distressed. Okay? Don't think me poor nor discouraged or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. You know, that's a wonderful song. I remember one particular time, I've told this story before. I was in Vermont, I'm walking up Red Village Road, and I'm picking up cans because they're a nickel apiece. And you know, and I'm about a mile and a half away from the house, and I've walked a long ways, and feeling pretty sorry for myself, feeling like maybe God's abandoned me, and you know, this terrible thing, and I've probably one too many times sinned against him, and that's it. He's closed the door, you know, that's it. He's never going to help again. It's, you know, he's sick of me and all this. And, you know, and I'm convinced that's the case. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, that song, as I was picking up those cans, started playing in my heart. Don't think me poor or discouraged or lonely. I mean, what would people think? This guy out here in this ditch picking these cans up knows the Most High God. And he's sent by the Most High God there. You know what I found out about 3 months later? That very exact moment, there was a couple looking out their window, and the husband asked the wife, who is that man? They're plotting to get divorced. He's 9 years older than her. He runs a greenhouse and a business. She's a hardworking girl, but a spoiled brat, wants everything her own way. And they're just sick of each other. They've lost all romance. And they ask this question, who is that man out there? And they had just had the discussion, maybe we need new friends. And the Lord just flooded my heart at that moment with that song. Now, they still go to that church. She's got a tremendous born-again experience. They ended up having 6 more children after that. And, homeschooled and all the girls in dresses and the boys with hammers and working in daddy's greenhouses and such. But it's that idea again. Yeah, I was troubled on every side. But the Lord took that distress away. Didn't take the trouble away, but he took the distress away. If God has to take the trouble away to get your distress away, you'll never grow.
Try it. Ever.
Okay? What you need is to find the victory in the midst of the trouble.
That's right.
That's what you need in the midst of the trouble to have the victory. If it takes you winning the lottery to get away from your troubles, what Pharisee couldn't do that? Okay? But if you, in the midst of your troubles, people could remember there was mom with all those troubles and she wasn't distressed. There was Dad in the midst of all those troubles, and he wasn't distressed. Look at that. What a legacy to give, okay? Instead, we often leave this legacy, I'm on my last straw, I can't take it anymore. And, well, okay, just like the rest of the world, so what? So who's Jesus Christ? Why would I want him in my life, if that's what your life is, okay? All right. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. You know why perplexed? You're perplexed because you don't know how to get out of your situation. That's perplexing. When you're really standing there wondering, how do I get out of this? How do I take care? It's perplexing. But just because you can't see the way out doesn't mean there's no way out. God sees the way out. A lot of times it's just a matter. Follow one little instruction after another, like the Lord says. You can't see which way it's going, but just do what he says. We all have this thing of we're willing to obey God if we can understand exactly why. You know, show me up. But if he's telling you, I want you to go give your last $10 to so-and-so, and you know it in your heart, and you can't see how he's going to get you out of your problem if you do that, it's hard to obey. Now, if he can show you that tomorrow this is going to happen or that's going to, we give the 10 and then some, you know. But he doesn't do it that way. And the Lord just doesn't operate that way, never has. So we're perplexed. We don't understand what's going to happen next. Well, you know, Dale and Amy, they'll call me every once in a while, there'll be a crisis, and we laugh amongst ourselves, because really it's probably some of the most pleasant times we ever have. Mm-hmm. We think about it, they're just wonderful. We'll go over there, sit around the table, we'll discuss the problem for 5 minutes and fellowship for 20, and when I leave there I'm all buoyed up and everything else. But I remember Dale, and it was some of his worst pouty fits before he was saved. I mean, when he could pout like nobody could pout, and you know, sitting there, and I'd walk in and the first thing he said, I know God's going to take care of it. I already know. I'm going to sit here and complain to you, but I know he's going to take care of it, you know. And he's almost mad at God because he's going to take care of it, you know. And just can't see why, but he'd already learned God's going to take care of this thing, all right. But what God has to keep doing is I'll get this convinced. And, you know, there's times as a pastor things need to go wrong. And you say, hey, don't worry about it. God's going to handle it, whatever else and such. I knew a lawyer one time, and he was really the number one criminal defense attorney in Columbia, South Carolina. If you were somebody who'd broken some pretty serious laws, you wanted him as your attorney. And I remember him saying this. He said, yeah. He said, most of the time, he said, all us attorneys can get together and play golf and eat dinner and that. He said, but I've gotten a couple people off where they don't want to play golf with me anymore. In other words, they were that angry, you know, that he got them off. But he talked about the great lengths that the government will go to break a man. And he talked about, had this black drug dealer one time, And they pretty well thought they had him, but they weren't quite sure when it came down to it whether or not the jury would buy all the evidence. Because, you know, they're right down there. So they're trying to break the guy, and he has been cool through 2 days of cross, you know, what about this deposit in your bank? What about this? What about this picture over here? So finally what they did, you have to understand, if he really had been transacting all that drug business, then he would have had profits, and the IRS will come to you for and tax you for illegal profits that you've made. So what they did is they set this thing all up where everybody left the courtroom, he's still up there, an IRS agent walks up and hands him a bill for like $800,000. And they're all waiting to see if it breaks the guy. He looks at it, goes, put it on my tab. Put it on my tab. In other words, they didn't break it at all, and the guy ends up getting off the whole case. But the lawyer just said, he said that was the coolest customer he'd ever had. He said no matter what they did, they couldn't break him. Now, if some old drug-sodded black hipster on the streets of Columbia, South Carolina can do that, why can't a Christian?
That's right, brother.
Okay? Why can't you stand there and have this confidence that God's going to bring you through this thing? And that if God doesn't bring you through this thing, it's time to die. Okay, he's going to take you. You're going to go, all right? What if God does want you to live in a ditch? What if God does want to take everything you have away? You better have it all taken away, okay? Better live however he's trying to get you to live. You know, the European banks today just dropped their interest rate again. You say, why is that important? Because they dropped it to 0.25%. Meaning that if a bank goes to the government and gets $1 billion, they're only going to pay 0.25% on it. Why would they do that? Because that's how bad the economy's gotten in the world right now. Japan finally got to the point that a bank could go to the government and get money at 0%. In other words, they're down to one last bullet in Europe to be able to even fix their economy. When you're down to only 0.25%, you can't cut it any lower than that. And they still can't get that economy working. I have no idea what the economy is going to be like in 5 years. Maybe it'll all be healed, maybe it'll all be good, but maybe it'll be something that none of us will keep our houses. Okay? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for a time when everybody's in all distress and, you know, they're putting everybody in big community apartments and, you know, like Obamacare for housing and, you know, and, hey, we laugh now. We laugh now, but don't be surprised, okay? You ready for that? Can you take it? Can you keep your Christian testimony? Maybe it'd be the most important thing you could ever do to keep your Christian testimony in that. I know in the midst, you know, everybody heard my testimony 2 weeks ago, in the midst of that whole thing, going to court and fighting for my house, because the bank really was doing it wrong. They even, they're right there in the written contract, they're doing it wrong, and I'm telling the judge, and he's laughing at me because it doesn't matter to him. Now, later on, they made a lot of banks give houses back because they were doing that. I'm standing there showing the judge, it says this. Well, did you pay? Did you pay? But it says this, you know, and such. I probably could have gone and got that, but I remember God just saying, just get, walk away, John. Just get away. Just get away. You could probably go back, get a lawyer, get that house back. Thank God I didn't get that house back. Thank God that the judge laughed at me. Thank God they done me wrong on the thing. Thank God for it. Thank God. Look at my life today. Thank God for that. What if I just said, no, 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 I'm going to fight. It's an injustice, okay? Thank God. What if God's trying to do something like that in your life? Are you ready? We're perplexed, Paul said. In other words, we don't know where this is going to go. But not despair. Not despair. It says this, verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Now, I have a few people in here who've had a touch of persecution. Not a lot, but you've had a touch from your family, laughing at you, you know, wondering why you're that way. It hasn't been all, but you know, it hurts when it's people you love and you've been around all your life and they're saying those ain't hurts, okay? But you weren't forsaken by God in that. It says this, cast down, but not destroyed. Do you realize God allowed you to be cast down? Let allow it. Do you think Dick Botens, when he was young, ever wanted to get this feeble? How many times did you pray, oh Lord, don't let that happen. Take me before that happens, okay? But it didn't happen. Didn't happen. Cast down, but he's not forsaken.
That's right.
God hasn't abandoned him for 5 seconds. And yet the Lord has just sat there and watched those hands that could go out there and fix your house, fix your car, earn a living, make a wife happy, raise children. And all they can do now to open a package. Okay? You think that's bothered the Lord? It has not bothered God for 5 seconds because he hasn't forsaken that man. Hasn't forsaken him at all. And there's a lot of people, you're going to get cast down from time to time. Just cast down. Just cast down. Okay? But you won't be forsaken in that. You will not be forsaken. Now it says this. Actually, it's cast down but not destroyed. You'll think you're going to be destroyed, but you won't be destroyed. Verse 10, now watch this. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We heard that thing being crucified with Christ. Lord, keep me near the cross, okay? So buried about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What could Jesus Christ do on the cross? He could give his mom away to somebody. He could praise God. He could complain of his thirst. Yield his spirit to the Father, but he couldn't do much more. I don't find him healing many people there, okay? I don't find him putting his hands on people there. Couldn't do much. And the Lord saying, look, you bear about, in your body, bear that dying of the Lord Jesus. You bear that. That's what's yours to bear. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The Lord would love nothing more than to finally pin you with all your abilities, all your ability to bull your way out of anything, all your ability to get out of everything that you're in, and all your ability to do that. The Lord would love nothing more than for once to absolutely pin you, and you stand there and you're pinned and you can't believe you're pinned, and finally you have power with God. Finally, God's power is just working through you like you've never understood before. One of the ways they discover energy sources, if you had an energy pulse coming out of this room, for example, you'd say to yourself, well, it's coming out of these light bulbs, there's some energy in that clock. And so you say, all right, we'll shut that clock off, we'll shut these lights off, we'll shut this off, we'll shut that off. Somebody said, but I'm still getting an energy pulse. Well, then there's a form of energy here we don't understand, okay? And it's one of the ways they discover, you know, new elements and electrons and all that kind of stuff. You have to neutralize what you do know, and then if you still have something surging there, you know there's something there. Well, what the Lord's trying to do is shut off all your energy, shut off all your dumb ability, shut off all that stuff, so that the life of Jesus Christ can be made manifest in you, and then him use you like he wants to use you. You'd be amazed how many people you'll have people visit sometimes for churches. They'll say, has your church done this program or have they done that program and this kind of stuff and gone on a spiritual journey together? And said, we don't do that kind of stuff.
That's right.
Okay? We don't have those kind of programs. We have a program called Let's Get In With Jesus Christ. Let's let him run our lives. Let's let him crucify us. Let's let him get rid of the sin in our lives. And let's let him have the power in our lives to do something with it.
That's right.
Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That life of Jesus Christ, the man that stepped out of the tomb, the world won't see that. As far as I know, no living person saw that rock roll away. Some angels saw it, but no living person. But God wants it known all the time. So he says, you know what? I want to take Martha, and I want to live in her, and I want her family to see the rock rolled away in her. I want them to realize that the Martha that we have known all our lives, that something's happened, and there's another power here, and there's a life of Jesus Christ living, that rock's rolled away. We're trying to roll that rock away, show it in Amy's life. It's rolled away. There's something different. And you get discouraged, but I see it from time to time, okay?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you get real discouraged, but there's times I see it, okay? He's trying to show that thing. trying to make people see that there is a life in Jesus Christ. How are they going to see it? Because there's stuff going on in your life that doesn't make sense any other way. We've watched it. We can't explain this thing. How is this thing happening? It's happening because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Jesus Christ lives inside of me. Okay?
Amen. Yes.
He says this in verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Now he's talking about himself as the apostle, what they're going through, so that these people can have life. Those people can have it. You know, if you were to tell Tanya right now, if I were to have everybody vote, you know, who's the worst mother in here, everybody would vote for Tanya if they didn't get their hands raised. You know, if she couldn't see them raise their hand, everybody would raise their hand for Tanya. But if you were to ask right now and say, you know, little Caleb is going to die and there's no chance in the world for him to live, but if you right now would let us cut us open, take your heart out and put it in here, he could live. She would do it in a heartbeat, just like that. There wouldn't even be any question whatsoever. It would just be done. It would be over. You could all laugh and mock her at what kind of mama she is, but she'd do it in a heartbeat.
Sure,
okay? She'd just do it. And the Apostle Paul wants the man of God to be that way, just willing to be dead to the things of this world that his people can have that life, that they can have it. Okay, that's what he wants him to be. And, you know, every once in a while I'll get a victory like that, but for every victory there's about 9 losses. Well, I just wouldn't do it right. Just wouldn't quite do it right. You know, I was talking to Brother Hain yesterday. We went out for breakfast, and 2 hours later, I always have to tip these waitresses real well because I know I'm going to jawbone for so long. Make it well worth their while to put up with us and such. And but, you know, it's one of those things we were talking and just kind of was going over what's at the church, because he really, you know, if he's going to be here, he's going to pray and all that kind of stuff. And mentioned a few people. And I said, well, this person here kind of has a problem with me and a grudge against me, and this is why. And I said, I earned it. This is what I did. And, you know, they can't get over that, but... You know, it's, if they tell you, they're not lying. This is what really happened and such. And it's, you know, when I thought about it, there's a few people I just had to say that. Go through and just say, look, you know, this is why they're upset. This is what went on. And, you know, this bothers them or whatever else. And maybe there's some people here, they go, oh, no, I would always love. But maybe if you had been in their shoes, you'd be feeling about me like they do, okay? And you know what? I fail. I'm human. I fail. I'll have to face the Lord for those failures. I'll have to go to him and face him. And him and I discuss that thing together. Now watch what it says in verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith. Now you've heard me preach this thing over and over again. That faith is a gift that is given. Okay? The spirit of faith is something that God gives. We having the same spirit of faith. Now look what it says. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now I'm going to prove to you that's the faith of Jesus Christ right there.
That's the calling that as you see it, right?
That is the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Now, keeping your finger there, I want you to go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Two books up. Next book is Galatians, after that Ephesians. General Electric. You might turn that heat off now. I think everybody's getting a little swollen here. Yeah. All right, so Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay? I think everybody believes that. By grace you're saved through faith. And then it says, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now the thing is, I want everybody to do this. By grace you're saved, and when I say faith, put your right hand up. By grace you're saved through faith. Now point to your right hand, and that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
That's right, faith.
That's what it says.
Right.
By grace you say through faith. Right hand up, left hand points to it, and that, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
That's right.
Not of works, lest any man should boast. The faith to carry you to heaven is not something you can drum up. You cannot drum that up. That is a faith that God must give you. Now, to whom does God give that faith? To repentant sinners. There's never been a repentant sinner. The Lord's come to him, oh, you didn't come to me right. That wasn't the right prayer. No. A sinner broken with themselves, coming in innocence to Jesus Christ, gets saving faith. Any person who's ever come to him negotiating for a better deal has never gotten it. Okay? Never. But a person who just comes broken in themselves, he's all for them. Gives them that saving faith. Now, keeping your finger in 2 Corinthians 4, let's go to Psalm 116. Yep, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Now let's go back to our rule again. The rule was established in Acts chapter 2 by Peter. Peter quoted there the 16th Psalm, and he said this. He said, we know that's talking about Jesus Christ, not David. How? Because of the 16th Psalm, the psalmist said, thou hast not suffered my flesh to see corruption. Okay? And then Peter says, but David saw corruption. He's with us to this day. Therefore, that can't be David talking. It's impossible. Well, if it's not David, then it's Christ talking in Psalm 16. So the rule that Peter puts there is when you're reading in the Psalms and something's being said in the first person, I, we, that kind of thing, and it's being said in the first person, and it cannot be the author of the psalm. It doesn't fit the author. Then it's prophetic. You're reading something. You're reading something where Jesus Christ is crying out through that person. Okay, that's what we're running into here. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 3 again. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. When did David ever sit there in the pains of hell on him? He never had that. What are the pains of hell? Pains of hell are the thirst, the fire, you know, the and such. That's the pains of hell. David never went. This is Jesus Christ talking here, okay? Verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Why? Because what part of him is in hell? The soul, okay? His soul's been made the burnt offering. It's there in hell. Deliver my soul. Verse 5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Why would somebody's feet be falling in hell? Because it's the bottomless pit. You're in the center of the earth. That's where gravity's centered. The earth's turning. You'll always fall. That's one of the agonies of hell, is always falling. You just never are settled. Just always tumbling, rolling in this, and it's, you know, just part of the misery of hell. Then it says, verse 9, now here is the faith of Jesus Christ. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. How does he know that? He knows it by two things. Number one, his blood has already been taken into heaven. Yes, sir. Now, he'll go up to heaven with his blood. But Hebrews 13, You go read this on your own. I'm not going to have, pretty soon you'll have to have your foot in one passage of scripture and your hand in another one. And, you know, I'm not going to open up Bible all over. But you go read this on your own. In Hebrews 13, it says this. Talks about Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, who was raised from the dead through the blood. Okay? He's raised through that blood. Well, if he's raised through that blood, who brought the blood there? Okay? The Holy Ghost had to bring it there. What's a priest do in the Old Testament? He teaches. Okay? He offers sacrifice. He intercedes for people, doesn't he? He intercedes. He keeps the Bible. Remember the priests in Deuteronomy 17, the Levites keep the Bible. What's the Holy Ghost do? He intercedes for people. He keeps the Word of God. He teaches people. That's what he does. He's the priest inside of the Godhead. That's what the Holy Ghost is. So the thing is, the Holy Ghost takes that blood to heaven. Well, Jesus Christ is still in hell. What's the second way he knows? Because the Father promised him eternal life. The Father promised him that his days would prosper. So he said, I will walk before the Lord in the land. I might be here in hell, but it ain't going to last. Ain't going to last. Okay. Go ahead, Miss Amy.
So Jesus is the only one who's ever been to hell and came out of it.
That's right.
So then, any scripture that says that they went to hell and came out.
It's Jesus Christ.
It has to be.
It is Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. Okay, no doubt about it. They went to hell and came out again. It's Jesus Christ. Okay. So the thing is, Josh?
How long was Jesus in hell?
Okay, good question. He died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The new Jewish day starts at 6. And he said, this day shall I be with thee in paradise. So somewhere between 3 and 6 he had to get out. Okay? And yet in that time frame, he had to suffer an eternity in hell.
Isn't that something?
Okay? So that gives it, but it's a good question, Josh.
That's good.
All right, so the thing is, he's in hell, but he realizes this cannot last. My blood's going to be taken up, and God promised me eternal life. So he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Now look at verse 10. I believe, therefore have I spoken. What did Paul just quote? Now take your finger, go back to 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what's given to a repentant sinner. That faith that Jesus Christ had in the flames of hell. Do you see that, Eric? In the flames of hell, where everybody else, there's no hope whatsoever. But for him, there is hope because his blood's being taken. And for him, there is hope because he has a promise of eternal life that God cannot lie. And therefore, he said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. And now you have that spirit of faith. When you broke and came to God, he gave you that faith. He gave it to you. It's yours. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a, you know.
So then why do we always sometimes, we don't exercise that faith?
Well, why don't we exercise that faith, Miss Amy? And you know why? Because you're learning over and over and over and over again in 1,000 aspects of your life to exercise it. You take a child and sit there and teach him to add 2 + 2. And he finally gets it down. Then you ask him to add 22 + 22 and he despairs. No, it's too hard, you know, and yet you know it's this simple thing, you know, we did it yesterday with 2 + 2, now 22, no, it's too hard. See, that's us in life. God teaches you a little lesson and then he changes something around and puts that lesson there again and you just fall apart. No. You know, I can't do that now, all right? Is that not what our lives have been? Have I, you know, is there anybody here that's an exception to that rule? All right. I've got 32 years of failing every test God's ever given me. You know, it's
yes, sir.
Bill Randall's famous statement by the side of the road one time. Well, Lord, I failed every other test. Just add this to the book. You know. You know, no one could ever repent better than Bill Randall could repent. But it's just, he gives that faith. Here, the average person says, all right, we're saved by faith. I really am saved by faith. I'm just not sure I'm saved.
Yeah, it's an A, right.
Right. No. You know, we're saved by faith, but I sometimes doubt that I'm saved.
Yeah.
Well, then you don't have that spirit
that's
of
right.
faith.
Yeah.
Okay? Why don't you have it? Because you've never come to Jesus Christ in the condition he wants you to come in.
That's something.
Okay? It says in the parable of the sower, of one that's out of the way. This church specializes in reaching people out of the way. Okay, it just does. We love to go to people out of the way. I love that. You had three people out of the way.
Yeah.
In your house the other day, they were out of the way. And you know, we sowed some seed there, didn't we? And yet, the birds are already eating some of that, taking it, because they really didn't understand. Your aunt understood more. But, you know, didn't really get, you know, they're just taking it out of the way. But we've dealt with them. The next step is too many stones in the field.
Yeah.
What are the stones? Really, it's the issues of pride. Because when persecution ariseth, or a little trouble over the word of God, then they blow out of here. You know, it's real fun. Say, okay, I'm saved. Up at the altar. Okay, Brother Shanko's really got it right now, you know, and such. And, you know, but then a little persecution, something comes up and such, and it all falls apart again. Why? Because there were stones in the field, and it really never did take place. That root was never there. That seed never grew. Okay? Let's say we get past that, Ms. Tanya.
I was reading right in that same parable, and part I noticed about it was that he never called it having matured until it bared fruit.
That's right, until it bore fruit. That's good. Then, you know, the next one is, we finally get all the stones out of the field, and it's full of briars and brambles, okay? And so it begins to grow, but the cares of this life and the riches of this world choke it. So you get people go ahead, and, you know, you think it's beginning to go, but, you know, they can't let go of their pocketbook. They can't let go, you know, of all the other things calling them and this kind of stuff. And why aren't you in church? Well, my job's dragging me away, and I can't do this. What's happened? There's no fruit can grow because really that seed couldn't grow because God never rooted out the cares of this world out of there. He never rooted out the love of money. He never rooted that out of them. But then you have that field that's good earth. That's the human heart. Now, let me ask you a question. Is one person's heart better than another? Not by birth. It has to be by preparation. You have to prepare a heart.
Yeah.
You have to prepare a heart. A heart has to be prepared. God's got to come in. First of all, bring that heart that was out of the way, bring it in the way. Then he's got to go ahead and get all the things of pride out of there. Then he's got to go ahead and get all the things of the cares of this world and the deceit of riches and that kind of stuff where they don't see any of that stuff. And finally that heart's sitting there. And the next time someone comes along and preaches, the word goes down in there. And suddenly there's nothing choking it. And it brings forth fruit. And they stand up and for once can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. They have that faith of Jesus Christ. The very faith that brought Jesus Christ out of the flames of hell has brought them out of darkness. It's caused the light of God to shine in their heart. They will never go to hell. They will never be damned. They will never lose that faith. It is eternal. They are with him forever. Okay? What a gift from God. That's what God offers. That's what God gives. And then he takes that person, okay, and says, now we're going to let that faith shine through the world. Yeah, we'll do it. And you flunk 1,892 times a day.
That's a one.
All right? But, yeah, that's right. But the thing is, but he teaches you.
Yes, sir.
You're not that's failing on the things you failed about 2 years ago.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
You're not failing on that anymore. You're over that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And really, the times of peace really are times of joy.
Sure.
And they're wonderful. And as horrible as it gets with the failures, even my failures are better.
That's right. Yes,
than
sir.
What my best days used
absolutely.
To be before.
Absolutely.
Okay? You know that old bumper sticker, a bad day fishing is better than a good day working.
That's right.
You know? And But it's just that thing, even a bad day with me with salvation is better than a good day when I was lost. Okay? Better. All right, back to 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Why? Because God gave us that spirit of faith. It's ours now. It's ours. Ms. Tanya?
That's good.
But Satan does the same thing with calling it as if it were.
That's right. You know, Tanya brought up something. One of the accusations, one of the things, for example, about God, one of his descriptions, it says in Romans 4, who calleth those things that are not as though they were. What's that mean? Abraham, you're a father of many nations. I can't even have a kid. What are you saying? All right? But he calleth those things that are not as though they were. But yet if your children do, they're in trouble because they're lying through their teeth. Did you clean your room? Yep. He called those things that are not as though they were, didn't he?
Okay. By the time you get to this
now, you stop and think, what is the difference? One was holy, one was not. One was godly, one was devilish. The devil always duplicates what God does, but he can't be holy when he
does
it.
Can't do it.
When God, if God says my room's clean, it would be clean.
It's done, yeah.
It would just be, his word has that power. God said, let there be light, there was light. God said, hold your hand out, the power's there. You can hold your hand out. Doesn't matter if you're palsy all your life. Bloop, there it is. God said, live, you live. Power's in his word. So we try to do that. But we're just hellish and awful, and so we lie and try to paint a picture to people that's not true. Okay? You know, try to paint a picture that's not so.
Did that happen every time that if Jesus was on earth, if he just said, that's oh, right. Man, I wish I didn't stub my toe or something.
It wouldn't have been stubbed, yeah. Okay? It sounds like a silly thing, but yeah. It wouldn't have been stubbed. He's God. And by the
didn't
power
he have
of
to be
word.
Very careful what he said.
And he was. He only spoke the words the Father gave him, and he
that's
said
right.
that.
He said that's yeah.
Even when he was growing up?
I don't know. I suspect yes.
Okay. If,
but I don't know the answer to that.
If not, he just
it says he grew in wisdom.
Right, but the man.
And he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He is a man. I mean, it's the marvel and the mystery of God manifest yeah. in the flesh. It's called a mystery.
Tempted every way we are.
Josh?
Was Abraham the son of Noah?
He's the son of Noah about seven removed. In other words, Noah's his gritty great-grandpa. Okay? Now, Noah was alive when Abraham was alive. Abraham could have... It says this. It says in Acts chapter 7, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. Terah's been dead a long time. Okay? It isn't when Terah died. Okay? It's when Noah died that God brought him in there. Why wouldn't he come into that land with Noah alive? Because Noah cursed those people. He's afraid of Noah. He's afraid of Papa Noah. So he won't come. But he's a great grandson of Noah.
So when we get to heaven, it says we'll be like him. Do we get all those, the ability to say something in a, like the room's clean?
We do if we're ruling.
You'll rule with him, and there will be power through him. Okay.
I just want to see it happen when you say it.
Yeah. It'd be nice to finally have the room clean, you know.
Sorry, I'm stuck yeah. stuff.
More than one way to get it done. We'll just wait for the rapture. The room will be clean.
Wow, please don't wait.
All right. I'll tell you what. We get the oddest things in this Bible study group. Yeah. All right. All right. Now, it says this, verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, there's the apostle talking about his people. That's really that same thing that Hebrews 13:17 talks about when it says that obey them that have the rule over you, for they shall give an account. They shall give an account. And you don't want that to be a miserable thing, okay? Yesterday, 6 o'clock, the elders of this church met for an hour and went over things that were needed at this church. I purposely stayed away. One of the things I told Brother Hain, I said, part of the problem with this church is too much of it revolves around me. This church needs to mature where things are going on and being taken care of. Jim's been very forward to bring this to where it needs to be. He's done it properly, organized this thing, things getting done and such. But they'll stand one day with this church, okay? They'll stand and be presented, you know? Those elders, here it is, you know, and this is what went on. Dale will be standing there. John will be standing there. Jim will be standing there, presented. You know, this is where it is and such. And, you know, from what I understand the meeting, they won't have any problem explaining that meeting. They'll, you know, it'll be exactly what the Lord wanted it to be, okay? I'll have to stand with you folks and stand there. I'll be presented together with you. It's all part of that resurrection, how it works, okay?
And what if you've been under others? Would you stand with that too? Or would it be the most...
I'm not sure how that'll work, Miss Jody. One of the things that goes on, to be honest with you, people change churches, pastors change churches too lightly.
Yeah, way.
Way too lightly.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, I have a whole list of things that I criticize elders about and pastors about, and you know me, I can get right down persnickety. You know, and, you know, criticize this and that and everything else. And one of the things I noticed over the years I've been here is almost everything I criticize pastors about, Brother Hain had overcome. You know, I say that you go into their churches, you don't find families sitting there that man won to the Lord and serving the Lord. You do in that church.
That's right. Yes, sir.
You'll find people in that church he won to the Lord. He found them out there, won them in the dairy stalls, and he won them in their houses, and they're there. Their lives have changed. Their children raised for Jesus Christ. You'll hear me say, yeah, and then they'll stay there for 5 years and run on down the road, 40 years in that church.
That's right.
Okay? So many things that I complain, and yet the man comes out of a completely different camp that I come out of. I would never pick a person out of that camp. I just wouldn't. God did. Okay. Because all those things that God showed me, this is what's important. Yeah, I'd look and say, oh my goodness, he's got that too. You know, and it always surprised me. So I didn't expect it out of that camp. And I'd stand there and look, oh, he's got that. So you won't find that though in most churches. For example, I remember one day saying in a Sunday service here, I asked the question, can you imagine what this church would have been like if one of the pastors from the 50s or 60s had just stayed for 40 years? Imagine that, one of those really good pastors had stayed. Imagine if Francisco could have stayed for 40 years, overcome that. What a different story this would have. And when I said that, I'll never forget Sandy Barth, it just hit her. And she just, it really hit her how much this church could have been. If ever I watched a person really impacted by something that said, I remember that just really hitting her. Boy, what that would have been.
That means a lot to me, too, because, I mean, this church was a part of my family. So
okay,
if a pastor had stayed, would it have made a bigger impact on my life? Because it would have been
probably would have. If this whole community could have been so much different if just a man would have stayed, fought through it all. And I know there was a lot of opposition to the people. That's typical, you know. It's like having a good woman. If she don't fight you once in a while, you ain't got a good woman, you know. I mean, that's just, you know. You know. You know, but a man's got to be able to handle that. That's all part of it and such. But they all go, well, I'm called to go here and there. And by the time he's pastored 15 churches or whatever else, I just don't see any spiritual profit in that. There might have been financial profit for him, but I don't see any spiritual profit in it. To me, there's a whoredom in that. Bill Randall always used to say, church hoppers and whore hoppers, they're all the same. That was Bill Randall.
That's right, though.
Yep.
It's true.
I'll never forget a couple one time coming to visit the church. And they came and visited. A few weeks later, they came back again, visited again. Then they said, well, we're going to join, stay in this church. And he asked, he said, well, why did you pick this church? He said, well, we've been going to Sammy Allen's in Georgia, but, you know, they moved 4 hours away to Columbia. And we asked Sammy Allen, where should we go to church when we get to Columbia? And he said, I'll tell you what to do. He said, you visit every single church, compliment the pastor and say, this is a nice church. Do you know any other nice churches? He said, whatever church every pastor tells you, but don't go to this one. He said, that's the church to go to. And and they said this. They said, every church, they say, well, this one's good, but don't go to Gethsemane. They say, and they said, finally, when every pastor said, that's the church not to go to, that's the one we went
to. That's right, amen, brother. That's right.
And we're already beginning to rack up something, you know. People would tell you, not that church.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead. Jim, would you close us in prayer?
Father, we thank you.